Elegant sea urchin is a swoonerich swoonio swoona, swoonton swooned and swoontined by swoonio swoon as swoon oon swoo, swooner swoon swoont swoontive. It swoon swoon a swoo if swoon swooned on swoonton woon. Swoon swoo oon swoonent swoo swoon dot swo swoon swoon swoo swoon swooning swoons oon swoon joy. What the fuck? My airy was a raised jaunt over the curve. There is no turning back to sit at Grandma's slab for a meal. What end is there to this whirl of time? Where is a shade of darkness beyond the shadows that I'm meandering through? It's cold where we are, where we ended up. It's as if this is an elaborate eldritch prison. I'm afraid of being completely halted.
We can't risk it.
Stuck.
I'll be in the ocean by then.
Never to escape. And
status update.
That just makes it all the harder to move.
A little more and when we're back home, Greenland.
There's just the mad rambling mule down in one direction. Just Cena's
baiting
squishy footfalls on the webbing.
What the fuck is that?
Just the static of the wave,
you know. Gamma, do you have visual on anyone from Delta?
Unable to read Daemarin's waves.
Copy.
I doubt that my casting creature is even reaching anyone right now.
This is Hummus to page one. Do you copy? We're getting wiped out.
There it is again. It's not that loop anymore. Do you hear it, wave catchers?
Christ, when this operation fails because
it's so much clearer. It's
wands, I hope the
almost like someone casting. Let me hear. It is.
I can't fucking believe this. Copy. Blue Omega, you heard the man. Get your squad in and get my men out.
Wave catchers. You know her from my casts over the past two seasons. Cena Ictus is here with me. She's taking a break, exploring the path her father and the tendrils desire of her while she waits to hear from the Tangent Doorball League. Let's start with the basics. What drew you to Doorball? My pop used to play with me when I was a little urchin. Did he train you mostly in flashing?
No, we played in all different positions. He used to be part of a loathsome group of the tendrils that had private doorball fields, threshold and all.
Fancy. Most of us learn without actual doors.
Right? So, I actually became pretty good at all positions, but it came to a point where the probability of winning was marginally higher when I wore the trench coat.
Is flashing your favorite position to play?
I haven't thought of that. Being better at flashing means more in the long run to...
I guess I put you on the spot with that one.
No, it's just... Zoth, Faye, your shift in thinking is...
Actually loathsome? I know.
Refreshing. It kind of makes it easier to breathe the way you put things. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Then what's your favorite thing about wearing the coat?
Well, showing myself off, being seen and making an impact that way.
You've thought about that one.
More times than I can count. Here, let me share an eldritch secret. My mom is integral to the Cove's tendril web. I see her maybe twice a season, then Pop is focused on the science of our broken world, and
Cena, I see you, and I think you shine through the smogs.
You shouldn't say that when you've got Heather.
She should know that she's all mine, come the colliding dimensions or the second glowing dawn.
Now, the big play that led to the Cove's End School Championship, I know it's been a while, but can you tell me a bit about your thought process, the planning, the training, and such to see an opening like that? Frey, you need to refine that question in the future.
Yeah.
Let's see. The captain at the Cove trains in a somewhat obtuse way. We have twice as many urchins on the roster than most teams because he pushes his core team. I shouldn't say too much on that in case any of what he does is Cove secret, but during training we, the anemics especially, have been in situations similar to what happened at the end of the championship.
That opening would have gone to waste if not for their follow-through and coordination.
What do you have to say about the Cove center bellhop, Thad? There isn't much to say. He's a handsome face for the brown noses. I do have a warm thought to say. His distraction with the false sense of being ahead in sand dollars was part of our strategy. We had to take that risk. Mesa was in the championship for a reason, after all, but their style of play is straightforward. Sand dollars to 21, interfere with the runes and listen closely for footsteps at the thresholds.
Wow, I hadn't considered that. It was well worth the risk in the end.
Huh? If we didn't get that starfish, we would have lost Faye. They were close to having three times the sand dollars we had by that last play. I'm sure I wasn't the only one who was feeling ice prickling up my back. One key to Mesa's straightforward gameplay is the brute force of their gargoyles.
Our gargoyles are smaller.
It's the thin miasma they live in. Faye, to break the flow of your interview briefly, did you know Yule tried out to be a gargoyle?
She what?
Yep, made the team and all. When the smogs rolled in, her pop was all but drowning in the moony moss.
No.
Yeah, he fit about the consequences and inevitability of gargoyles fucking up their bodies.
I had no idea.
You should have seen her. Yule seemed to have really prepared her body of marble, as you put it. Stood the test of the Quarf and the Breachers.
The Aya I knew had never shown interest in Dorval. Well, not since I knew her when we were little urchins.
You know, Frey, now that the question is far behind us, I think tending the thresholds, being a bellhop, is my favorite position.
I smiled, and so did Sina.
Nobody knows.
I heard something.
It
was the cap and Yule. I didn't think I had headed in their direction. Did Sina and I get it wrong? Or did this place turn everything upside down? Whatever it was, I followed the faint waves of Yule's voice.
Nobody sees.
What do you sing for, Yule?
To fit the role of a tendril.
What do you want to do? Why sing for the horrors above?
It's what's expected of me.
If it isn't you, why don't you change your tune?
Azathoth would turn its ambivalent march back to our tangerine speck.
Who decides this?
I...
Do you fear the gods of your time?
The gods?
What do you want to sing for?
Do you
know what you've done?
What you've done? No. I...
Can you take it back?
No.
What will you sing of?
The stars.
That's right.
That's right.
Now...
What's your choice, Fable?
What's your choice, Fable?
My vision was streaked with magenta cellophane. I'm taking us away from this horrible place, I declared. My leg blazed, but the pain only seemed to fuel me. The fury of the fire season itself spreading heat through my veins. Faye,
that ain't
your eyes.
How the mother-loving fuck?
I felt a twitch tug at the muscles of my neck. At the involuntary tilt of my head, the segments of the cap that were streaked in magenta pulled away from him. Like unset stained glass, he collapsed to the ground. His last words... Fiona, Dennis, and then my vision faded to black.
Faye?
I heard Yule cry. I'm right here, but
When I moved to her, I felt nothing where I thought her voice had come from.
Faye, don't leave me here.
Her voice was behind me now. No, I messed up. I couldn't see my hand as I rubbed my face. This wasn't supposed to be my doing, was it? Voice in the waves. It was where Enzo was supposed to howl a cacophony and help us escape. What did I do? Oh, Azathoth. I called out over and over, but you all couldn't hear me. I slumped as I heard her footsteps chase into a direction she believed in, and I hoped she would find Sina. Why did this emptiness, this loneliness, this everything feel familiar?
What is true darkness in your life, Fable Nox?
The voice? I think darkness is this feeling of abandonment, of abandoning people all the same.
You're not alone, though, are you?
I felt something somewhat furry and rather malnourished press against my leg. Something warm. But the voice wouldn't trick me. Enzo is gone. I know I've said this before, over and over through this golden season, but it's really sunk in since so much of my time in this boggling spit of time has been me sat alone thinking about. Sitting in those feelings as Sina silently thought near me.
That's no trick. He means to protect you with his life.
I could feel the chest of the thing pressed to my flank rumble. I couldn't hear what I expected was a growl. My gut told me it wasn't Enzo. Its ribs against my outer thigh wasn't as starved as Enzo's was. But I tried to tell myself that maybe he finally started retaining her nutrients. I didn't convince myself. When at last I placed my hand on its head, I knew instantly by its shape that it wasn't my canine. We moved together, where my hand had naturally landed on the terror's head soon after I felt it turn up to see me, catching the brief twinkle of starlight before it looked forward again. I think it guided me just a little, telling me in its way to face forward in this resounding darkness. After some time we stopped. I asked the terror what it was. Of course, there was no answer. But there was a noise. A clicking of pincers. I shivered. It was a fact I didn't want to admit to when we first landed here. There was no reaction from the terror at my side, but there was another noise. A voice. But not the voice that I'd been hearing.
You're gonna have to try harder than that to get to me, you eight-legged, whisker-faced, fuzzy bastards.
I couldn't see Yule, but I knew where I heard her and the clicking maws from. Approaching, I nearly tripped as the ground sloped up. When the ground leveled out, something cool, hard, and slick blocked my path, but it diverged at an even angle on both sides. This was familiar. The slope, the angle of the dead end. I knocked.
What from the moony moss was...
I shouted, but either Yule was too preoccupied or, the more likely case, couldn't hear me. I knocked again. A skittering and clicking approached in the darkness. I felt the terror at my side gently nudge me before its warmth vanished. Right. I may not have played, and the field and positions may be a little bit mixed up, but I know the rules. I took a few steps to the side, taking cover from the angle that the thresholds turned at. From the darkness, light at last seeped in, pale violet and magenta. Wispy blue silt was stirred from the ground. Jaw gape, teeth like spines, long and glittering like diamonds. I didn't blink. I wasn't low tide. All at once, they grew and wrapped around and skewered the Arachlean. the entire thing thrust into the Q9. Not a tuft of hair or a wisp of blood left behind. I thank the idolaters of the fractured magenta dimension that the Q9 seemed to be on my side. That they seem to have always been on my side. I couldn't keep gaping like a sucker, though. I could help Yule by playing this twisted version of Doorball. For some reason, I felt it was fitting and sad that I was playing the part of a ditcher. I hoped Cena's praises of Yule's ability as a gargoyle would see her through, because Arachlians are a force to contend with when you're only using brute strength. In the darkness once more, I felt the Q9 at my side. Driven by the endorphins of what I witnessed and the burning desire to save Yule, I knocked on the cold, slick stone. This time it opened faster. I must have attracted more than one. The Q9 was ready, and I had barely avoided the light as it spilled into the perfect darkness. I was right. The Q9 and its horrific maw vanished the first spindled-legged crustacean, and another began crawling in from the ceiling, but the wall snapped shut on it, causing it to sputter an angry, foaming cry. Footsteps came close to the outside of the walls.
Faye? Are you there?
Yule pleaded. The scratching chitter of more Arachlians reverberated through the shadow space.
Please, even if it's not Faye, anybody back there, please help.
There was a faint glow from something, just barely illuminating the spot on the rough, dark stone where Yule's voice was coming from. I looked at the Q9 against my thigh, seeing the starlight from its eyes was the cause. One last time. I'm not jumping away, though, okay? I have to pull Yule out of there. My resolve was lacking, though. I saw the shadow of the Q9 sneeze, the soft illumination going out briefly as its eyes shut. I knocked. Yule! As the blinding violet and magenta light hit my eyes, I reached for the silhouette of my fiery-headed friend. Behind her, the universe screeched and every last atom moved as if lunging to stop us. To stop me. All around us, the awful diamond tusks of the Q9 pierced and skewered its third meal of the game. When darkness sapped our sight, Yule shivered in my arms.
Fable?
It's me. Right. I leaned against her, the pain from my leg catching up, making my sight vortex. We both gathered ourselves. Behind Yule's visage, a crack formed, bright red and infra bursting through the stone. I gasped, pulling Yule to run further into the darkness, but Yule resisted. From the seeping infrared light, I saw her gesture to look behind me. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of piercing, shimmering lights littered the pitch. Behind Yule, I heard the wall break, a huge chunk of stone landing, stirring blue silt all across my vision. Light flooded across the starscape. Chittering and skittering rushed alarmingly close to us, and the Q9 with us howled. Not a heartbeat later, every Q9 in the void joined it. As the simmering smogs dithered, we arrived at the next settlement. It was in Salt Vein where we were supposed to take the last rail. We were too short as we approached the platform. The inky cloud billowing from the machine condensed before us. Without word, it produced 4 tickets.
There's only 2 of us.
The blotch appeared to scratch its head, pointed to the glowing red-orange smogless horizon.
Didn't you hear me? We're not ready to leave yet. There's only 2 of us. We at least have to wait for Cena.
I could only stare at the ground, understanding Yule's frustration and hysteria. But the smog man tipped what appeared to be a brim above his brow, pointed behind us to the clearing smogs. We both knew he was telling us there wasn't even a quarter of a seventh before the rail would leave. With that, he dispersed to continue billowing around the engine. Jones was nowhere in sight, but I couldn't care. I would reach Lunatha and find out what all this was for on my own. Well, not alone, but with with Yule. What mattered was that there was no Cena jaunting over the horizon. I climbed aboard the passenger cab, looking one last time for anyone.
Hey, wait.
From the hollow running the rail was a small silt sucker of an urchin.
You've got an extra ticket, right?
The elder bounded after the urchin, attempting to restrain her, but the urchin slipped out. A whistle went off, and I turned, disheartened, to go find my seat with Yule.
Fable Nox, you followed the darkness.
A chill ran through me as the cab lurched. Sina had been arguing with the head of the Hotel Crepuscular. As it was, the sounds below the monolith were mixed, sending Sina to face the other side of that loathsome place. The hoppers and their oily silhouettes writhing, gesturing, clawing. The cellar was far too cramped with so many aberrations surrounding the urchin and the elder of before. The good news, Sina was in a lair of the basement that was without webbing. All around them was rough-hewn stone, like it had been scratched at for an epoch. Sina didn't relent to the faceless star-sheathed owner. Asine's posture wasn't confident. Sina knew the owner was nervous of something.
You will go back to your suite and forget you ever saw this place?
The hoppers sputtered in agreement, gathering and attempting to corral Sina back to the hotel proper.
After all these loops, Asine, I know what gets to you.
Oh, please, do enlighten me.
Sina's blood pumped. But she forced herself to calm. From her pack, she pulled out her final puzzle box. The inky workers of the hotel jiggled as if laughing.
Your jewelry box? Ho, 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 and here I thought
your Nullship. If I hadn't come here, I wouldn't have opened any of these in my lifetime.
Light spilled from the hundreds of seams on the puzzle box. The light reflected iridescent off the oily figures, all of which recoiled ever so slightly.
Several of your lifetimes wouldn't give you clarity to escape the will of Crepuscular, child.
Cockrats.
All together, the hoppers and the owner shivered, half recoiling, half emboldening.
Not only have we seen signs of them, I've been feeding them.
Sina twisted a cube-like protrusion, depressed several sides of the box, spun a corner and cracked it over her knee.
I have dozens of Arachlians to thwart any infestation, you loathsome urchin!
Infrared lights spilled from two sides of the puzzle box, floating before Sina, a knot of cells and metal.
Tell me, Asine, what was darkness in your life?
The walls all but burst.
You're going to... No!
Droves of scurrying, chitinous, buck-toothed rodents swarmed over the oily hired hands of the hotel.
To me, it was the night my father missed the game that got us into the championship. All to activate the fractal that misplaced a rail spark.
But Sita's words didn't reach a scene. The ravenous beetle vermin overtook the hoppers. Horrifically, the things didn't bleed. Chunk by small chunk, the swarm consumed the hotel staff.
To me, it was the night my mother left me to the tendrils, making me pay to elevate her success.
Nullasine jolted forward, reaching for the mass. Bathed in bursting light, the elder screamed and shrieked as the star-laced veil vaporized.
To me, darkness was at first knowing this would ultimately be where I wind up. Without Faye, I wouldn't be here. But without me, she wouldn't escape.
Sina smiled as the light washed over her.
Now that I see it coming to fruition, I think this will be worth it.
Just visible from the searing light, Sina found Yule and I.
I have business to attend to before I can join you.
Time unbegan to glitch as the patrons danced to forget. They draped over her eyes a star-laced cloth.
Both of you, be strong and... Okay? Keep thinking positive. It's really infectious.
But she wouldn't know if her words reached us. It felt like an eon had passed when I heard Heather speak over the waves. It wasn't until the lunar planes were far behind us
that I finally set up the beast to cast. So, I spent a bit more than a seventh recounting the trials of the strange hollow. Heather was pleased in parts and shared our grief in others. She said she would find a way to get my message of Sina to her kin. I felt awful. Before I could think of what next to say, I heard her rustling in the background. Scrolls? Doctrines? It didn't matter. I was considering ending the conversation. But, well, to speak to what Heather has been learning, she's learned a lot about brown-nosing. She hesitated and said,
"Fay, something doesn't add up in your casts."
"What do you mean, Mattis, love?"
"Well, it's about Yule. Tell me, what designation is her uncle?"
"She said he was B."
"Right, and what designation do you remember from where you came from?"
I smiled. It really meant a lot that she was paying attention to my casts. I wasn't sure if anybody was. The Aya I knew had an uncle designated D. But Heather was quiet for a moment. When she spoke, she didn't convey a smile over the waves.
That is what you said earlier this golden season. Fay, do you ever recall anyone having an uncle designated X?
Of course, Aya had an uncle designated X. But
how could she? How would I? It's gotta have something to do with Jude.
The radiant burning energy crumbled the tower. My wave catchers, you know from the Q9 hell that we were outside. But it was only me and Yule, and I swear I heard, but the light was so loud. Yule screamed and tugged at me that we had to go, but how could I? But how could I? Within that balloon of light was my friend, inside a monolith of a hollow. Was it expanding or just washing out, erasing everything around it? Or was it a trick of the eye, reflecting brilliant blazing lumens off the lunar plains? As she hurried me away from the expanse of blinding, my leg throbbed. It didn't hurt as much now that we were out. But my leg throbbed. And it throbbed. And it hurt. We were out. Out of that tomb. And my heart hurt, and my eyes burned. We were out, and no one else was. Behind us was something impossible. It didn't expand like we expected, though. There was no roaring din of a collapsing star. No roaring din. But it was still so loud. Maybe our broken reality couldn't handle it, or our brains couldn't, so it just didn't happen like physics suggests it would. I don't know anything about physics, though. I skipped all of my maths in end school. We were out. We still had a long jaunt before us. But the hurdles ahead, they have to be so much simpler than our wake. Yule was in a new kind of hysteria. It felt normal now. One that I shared.
My eyes burned as we jetted, and my leg hurt. The pulsing pain. And it hurt. I feel like Sina, she would tell us to be strong. Dreadful as a thought. How? But I kept tight hold of Yule's hand. After a time in our jaunt, we came across a small group of researchers. Were they looking for Morphowisps? The very same unclassified creatures that caused me to draw our path through a timeless nightmare? It's a shame. The season is all but over. Sure, as the smogs roll, they were packing up for the season. Yule offered one of her rudens to trade for a tent and several somethings to eat. I wanted to talk her out of it, but when he suggested a ride to the next settlement over, I suddenly became very aware of the pulsing magma through my leg. I couldn't pin what may have ailed Yule, but I get the feeling she was just as ready to pass out. I awoke long before the smogs rolled out. Yule didn't stir when I untangled from her warmth. Out of our costly shelter, I saw lights, but not the terrifying, luring, eldritch kind that had plagued me. No, these ones bobbed, floated, and swooned about. Glowphisms met my eyes when I opened the tent. Their lights were dim. Most were close to dying with the season. Before extinguishing, they get bright for one last moment. Just seeing traditional glowphisms was enough right then. I think the disenchantment of the Dukes and the millennia or more I may have left to live after the pace of everything that's happened so far may have sobered me to never expect the whimsical to be true. But basking in the golden light of these fading glow bugs was enough. But, you know, sometimes nature, or the eldritch, or other higher things give you something nice. Something that reminds you to hope. Something that reminds you to believe. The sediment all around the tent bubbled. Wispy red jellies shot from the ground, latching to the dim glowphisms. The Sina wisps seemed to inject the bugs with something. As they did, the fading golden glow turned. First through orange, to red, and then to a purple that I'm sure you hear, wave catchers. Was this accomplishment worth everything? I sat there, taking notes and sketching the now named Morphowisps as I wept.